we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each listener on this third Sunday in Advent. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
As we ponder the mysteries of the Christmas gospel, questions are bound to arise. We're going to talk about some of these questions in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, the Christmas gospel is filled with mysteries. God has come to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. That's a mystery. He has come into this world to walk among us, and then to suffer, die, and be raised again for the forgiveness of our sins. That is a mystery. And so today, O God, we come with some of these questions that surround the mysteries. Build our faith and bring us into a stronger relationship with you in this Advent season as you are preparing our hearts for Christmas. Hear our prayer that we ask in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "You go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel. Friends in Christ, in the midst of our busyness, Christians, or even people who have some exposure to the Christian faith, are aware that there needs to be a spiritual preparation if this season of the year is going to have its real meaning. Most of the Christian preparation calls for a lot of physical activity. By the time we get to Christmas, many are so tired that they can hardly enjoy the day. There is shopping that has to be done. And sometimes when the budget is limited, that is not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of baking that has to take place. Cards have to be written. We have to do some entertaining. If there are children or grandchildren, we want to get to some of their programs. Put it all together, it is a lot of running and a lot of hard work. Now, spiritual preparation is a little bit different than that. But you don't have to do a lot of hard running. You just need to do some sitting. Sitting with the Word of God to ponder some of the great mysteries that surround this marvelous time of the year, especially as we get into the Word of God and listen to all of the things that happened there some 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. There are some of these messages related to the Christian truth that really need to be pondered, and only God and His Word can lead us into the depth of these mysteries. You know, friend, pretty much the preparation for Christmas, in the natural sense of the word, has to be done by the individual. Somebody cannot very well do your shopping for you. Oh, I know when we get older, we hand the money to some of the people in the family and say, will you go and do the shopping? But shopping basically has to be done by someone in the family and all of the other preparations that we have talked about. But the only one who can help us get ready for Christmas is God's Holy Spirit, as we sit with the Word of God and ponder some of the depths of these mysteries. I cannot really prepare myself spiritually. God has to do it. And the only thing that I can do is expose myself to the Word of God and let Him do the work, and He'll do it, and it will be a blessed Christmas. Here John the Baptist becomes a great model of what an Advent meditation on the mysteries of Jesus Christ can be like. You know that John was sitting in prison down by the Dead Sea. He had been arrested by Herod, and there he was being held on death row, awaiting that day when he would be executed. When at the request of Herodias, his head would be cut off. There was plenty of time for John to do some meditating. And so one day, he turns to his disciples and said, "Will you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and will you ask him this question? Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" You see, he had pondered the mystery. Evidently, he had a really strange understanding of what the Messiahship was going to be like. Perhaps it was not so strange as far as others were concerned. Evidently, John the Baptist had a misconception of how the Messiah was going to perform as he proceeded to build God's kingdom. And it was a thought of the Baptist, as far as we can figure out, that when the Messiah came, the government and the religious leaders would be put in their place, and they would be under the authority of the Messiah. Now, Jesus comes, and none of that is taking place. Consequently, he had questions when none of this was happening, and so he asked, "Are you really the Messiah? If so, why don't you put these people in their places? Why don't you take this Herod and tell him where he's going to go?" Strange, this was not at all what our Lord Jesus was going to do as a Messiah. And so he said, "I'm going to show John that I am truly the Messiah." He wasn't in any way offended at the questions that the disciples of John the Baptist brought to him. He says it's kind of natural. These are really some mysterious things that we're talking about. God has invaded this world. It is God who has come to save the human race. And certainly there are many things that the mind cannot begin to understand. They have to be revealed. And so as the disciples stood there, he said, "You go back and report to John what you hear and see." The blind received their sight. He had met blind old Bartimaeus, and he had given him his sight back. But besides that, he had found many people who were spiritually blind, and they began to understand that they were not the kind of people they thought they were. Zacchaeus would be a good example of that. He was a blind man. All that he thought was necessary in life was to acquire as much wealth as he possibly could. It didn't matter what men and women thought of him, and certainly it didn't matter what God thought about him. But you tell John the Baptist that blind old Zacchaeus has had his eyes open. The lame are walking, and those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf are hearing. Oh, there are a lot of deaf people around. Physically and spiritually, he could have well said to the disciples of John the Baptist, "Bring this message back that they are beginning to hear, that God is a God of love. Bring that message back that God has come into this world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and I am he. Go back and tell John the Baptist that I have come here to bring people into a personal relationship with God and not to try to dethrone dictators or some of the other politicians of their day. Go back and tell John the Baptist that the dead are being raised." And he did not only have reference here to a person like Lazarus who had been in a tomb for several days, but those who were spiritually dead, who had no understanding of what really true spiritual life was all about, were now alive. And the good news is being preached to the poor, wherever they may be. Not only those who are financially poor, but those who are very wealthy and feel that they have it all and yet don't have enough. You tell John the Baptist that all of these things are happening. But then he says this at the end, "Blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me." You see, if a person has a wrong understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and rejects him because he doesn't measure up to our standards, then that person is to be pitied. Somehow we want a Savior, but we want a Savior made in our own image. And Jesus goes on to say, that isn't going to happen. But tell John the Baptist that the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. You know, friend, that's a good word for us to hear. For in this day and age where there are so many things that are disturbing, and we think that the church is really falling apart, the kingdom of God is advancing. I see that as I look at some of our youth. I know that there are many of them who are not in a living personal relationship with God. But I begin to see also that those who have really had their hearts captured by the Holy Spirit and know Christ in a very intimate way are far more vocal about their faith than the generation was of which I have been a part. These kids are really ready to say what Jesus Christ has meant and is continuing to mean to them. So you see, John the Baptist's questions were answered. I understand a part of the miracle. He did not know as much as we do regarding the kingdom. But John could say, yeah, I understand now the miracle. Those of us who live today have had an opportunity to see how a part of that miracle was brought forth. Jesus went on to live out his 3 years after his ministry began. Then he suffered and he died and he was raised again. He was not after Herod, but he was going to conquer Satan if it were the last thing that he could do. And so on that glorious Easter day when he came forth from the grave, he was able to announce, death has been conquered. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why we have Christmas. It is so interrelated to the crucifixion and the resurrection in God's redemptive plan of bringing men and women back into a relationship with him. You see, friend, there are mysteries, and we had to ponder them. Ponder them, for example, when we lie ill. Probably when it comes to that day when we lie terminally ill. To ask the question, how does all this fit in? How does this whole message of Easter, the whole message of Christmas, what does that do to me and my state? Is that what Jesus meant when he said, come and I will give you rest? Precisely. He is saying, because I have come and you have been prepared spiritually, you have within you a living faith and a living hope that I who came once will come again. But in the meantime, I may come to receive you to myself. You can ask all kinds of questions about this. And maybe some who are around you will get disturbed and they'll begin to wonder, is he losing his faith? But Jesus is not that disturbed because he understands that questions are natural. The question once more, as we talked about it last Sunday in the sermon, but let me refer to it once more. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus in comparison with Moses? Well, Moses was a great man of God. Moses was the one who came and gave the law. God first gave it to that great leader of Israel, and then Moses, in the name of God, gave it to the people. And that has been passed on to us as those who have an inheritance from that Jewish faith, the law of God. It does not budge. It is not 10 suggestions, as somebody has said. Those words are eternal. We live with the law of God. But how is Jesus in comparison to Moses? Jesus is God. Moses was a man. In our day and age, as our world grows smaller, and we are brought into contact with people of other religions, the question can well be raised, who is Jesus in comparison with Muhammad? And from our Muslim neighbors, we hear again and again that Muhammad was a great teacher. We are not willing to settle for that. Jesus is not only a great teacher, Jesus is the Savior. He not only teaches me how God wants me to live, but he tells me when I fail to do it, he will grant me the forgiveness of my sins. That's the difference. Jesus is God. You have to ponder that statement. It needs to have a lot of thought. It isn't something that comes easily. Now, if you are a Christian, you may sit there in the quietness of your home. Remember once again that preparation for Christmas takes a lot of walking, a lot of hurrying around. But being prepared for Christmas by the Holy Spirit takes a lot of sitting. And so you're sitting there and you ask yourself the question, how is my life enriched by this Messiah? And you get the answer. I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Think about that. I came to set you free, to give you a sense of values, to help you understand that you don't have to be caught up in all of these things of this world. You're freed. You're freed from your sins. You're freed from all of your frustrations. Just lean on me. I came that you might cast your cares on me. A few days ago, I buried the 36-year-old son of a brother pastor. When he and his wife called and asked if I would have that service, their hearts were broken. He had stood in that pulpit many a time and had talked to people whose hearts were also broken. But that day I was to say to him, my brother, it is that babe of Bethlehem's manger who is growing up, and he says, now come and cast your cares on me. That's how he will enrich your life. Why has he come? That you and I can rejoice together as a family, the family of God, and to sing our praises of joy to the world, the Lord has come. We are not here alone. He walks with us. He's there in the days of joy. He is also there in the days of sorrow. If you are not a Christian today, friend, but because of the spirit of the holidays, you're seeking an answer to what this Christian faith is all about, let me tell you what it is about. Jesus Christ has come into this world. He has suffered and died on a cross at Calvary. And after they put him in the tomb, he was raised again. And after he was raised, he ascended into heaven. But he has given us an invitation. He has said that whoever would come to him, he would in no wise cast out. He is the one who can take your guilt away. He is the one who can give you security. He is the one who can give you a new vision for your life. If you're a young person listening today, you want to know what life has in store for you, turn to Jesus Christ and he'll give you a vision. You say, how can I turn? You turn to his word. But that's a big book and you don't know what to do. Go to somebody who you know is a Christian and say, help me with this. I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. And if you're retired and you don't know what to do and you're half bored to death, then it is that you can turn to him once more. And you can say, Father, what do you want me to do in these closing years of my life? And once again, if you don't know where to turn, if you get the answers for that, go to one of your friends, go to a pastor, go to a lay person who knows Jesus and say, I want him for my Savior. Bow down on your knees, pour out your heart, invite him into your soul. He has said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open that door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That is the word of the Lord. My friend, he will take your sins and he will take your life that sometimes is such a disappointment to yourself and make it new. He is a one who loves you and he has come at Christmas to make that love known. Amen. Will you pray with me? Slow us down, God, and grant that we may have the discipline to sit in a chair, whether it be in the sanctuary or in the quietness of our own home, and ponder some of these great, great messages that come to us in the Word. Joy to the Lord, world, the Lord has come. What does it mean? How does it affect me? What is my relationship with him? Oh God, answer our questions. And then for those who do not know you as their Savior, empower them by the power of your Holy Spirit to ask you to be a part of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you will take time this week to reflect on the wonderful gift God gave us when he sent his Son to earth. We pray that worship with us today has brought you peace and joy during this busy season. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. We thank the many of you who send us an annual gift this time of year. Your generosity at Christmas helps pay for radio time during the winter months. We pray that if our ministry serves you well, that you will respond with a gift to keep the program on the air in your area. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.